Hi, welcome to the Theme Park Trailer Podcast with your hosts, Ryan and Dan.
Hello.
This week we are talking about paid Fastpass systems and whether or not it's going to be a good idea for Disney to introduce it for Walt Disney World. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast.
Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us. And when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic. Stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
So this topic comes off the back of our most recent live show, where we were talking about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. By the way, you can go and watch that on YouTube. Just search for Theme Park Trailer on YouTube, and the second show is there. We know there were some sound issues with me, but we'll get those
sort it out, Ryan.
2 weeks in a row, both of the problems have been mine.
When I looked back at the video on Facebook,
yeah,
the quality of my camera did look a lot better, so it might be worth you getting that webcam.
Yeah, I might well get that. Yeah. So we are getting through some of those issues, and the lighting's already a lot better with me.
That did make a big difference, didn't it?
So just for some reason, my MacBook decided to pick up my headphone. Microphone rather than, or the MacBook microphone rather than the actual microphone that I have. I don't know why I did that, but there we go. But it gave us the idea to talk about paid fast passes. There's rumours that Disney are going to introduce it for Galaxy's Edge, and we just wanted to talk. I don't think this show will be the kind of normal hour, because I think we might struggle to talk about fast passes for an hour. It might
turn really aggressive.
Could turn aggressive.
It could.
But we thought we'd start by looking at the parks closest to us and the paid system that currently exists. So we know that it exists in Paris, California, Hong Kong.
No, it wasn't Hong Kong, was it?
Was it not?
It was Shanghai and...
Tokyo, was it?
I can't remember now. Maybe it was Hong Kong, I'm not sure.
Well, it's definitely at California, Paris, and
Shanghai.
And Shanghai.
And I can't remember the other
one. And it might be one of the others. Yeah. So Walt Disney World is actually... in the very small minority of Disney parks that doesn't currently have a paid Fastpass system.
Which really surprises me, actually.
Given that they try and rip people off at every...
Exactly.
Every
it turn. Seems like the opportune... Because it's the busiest one of all of them. You think, why would they not try and capitalise on that? I don't really understand that.
Well, I think they might be about to.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about Paris's, first of all. They've got two tiers, which break down into two separate tiers within that.
Yeah, it's like super complicated.
It really is. And it's also called Super Fastpass and Ultimate Fastpass. So they've got Super Fastpass, which lets you on three attractions, and that's split by family attractions and big thrill attractions. And it gives you one-time access. So the family attractions are Ratatouille the Adventure, Peter Pan's Flight, and Buzz Lightyear Laser Blast, and the big thrill attractions are Star Wars Hyperspace Mountain, Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith, and the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Isn't Rock and Roller Coaster, is that closed now?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
No, later this year. So if you're going on the low season, it's going to cost you £26 for either of those tickets. And if you're going when it's busy, it's going to cost you £39. Now, that price goes up from April the 2nd.
By 39p?
Yeah. Exactly.
Or 58p on the high season.
Yeah.
That's such...
What's the point?
Why would you not just increase it by a pound?
I don't know. At least it's not like Walt Disney World's price increases.
No, I mean, it's amazingly low of a price increase.
Yeah.
But why would you not just round it up?
Maybe that's Disneyland Paris just increasing prices with inflation, rather than Disney that are like, yeah, we think inflation's going to be this in 20 years, so that's the pricing we're going to do now.
They're increasing it by exactly... the inflation rate.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, we could just round it up. But no, we're just going to do it by some random pence.
Yeah, 39p.
So
that gives you three attractions. I'll be honest, 26 quid to ride three attractions is it's quite expensive.
That is quite expensive, and considering, like, Buzz Lightyear Laser Blast, you don't really have to queue a huge amount for that.
No, no.
Gratatouille is
I don't mind the queue for that, though.
Yeah, but it's not too bad, yeah. I wouldn't say any of them have significantly long queues there.
No.
That I would think, I'm going to spend £26 per person per day to do this.
Yeah.
If you're a party of four, that's like over £100.
Yeah, exactly. Just to ride three rides.
Yeah.
And then the next tier they've got is Ultimate Fast Pass, and they've got all Fast Pass attractions either one time or unlimited. So that includes Ratatouille, Peter Pan's Flight, Buzz Lightyear Laser Blast, Star Wars Hyperspace Mountain, Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, Big Thunder Mountain, Star Tours, and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril. And
which you do not have to queue for anyway.
No.
So quiet.
So in low season, the one-time access is £52 and high season is £79. But if you want to ride those an unlimited amount of times, that price doubles to £105 or £131 depending on the season.
That's interesting actually, because from the unlimited one, it more than doubles and low season. But in high season, it's less than double.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't
it? You'd think that would be the other way around, wouldn't you? Because in high season, you'd think they could...
Demand is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand that. No, thank you, Disney. I did not want to sign up to your inbox. But I think that's incredibly expensive to ride, 9 attractions.
Yeah, and considering we're talking... This is per person per day. You think even if you're going for one day... That's party of four. You're talking, if you went for the unlimited pass, that's an insane amount of money, isn't it?
Yeah, and presuming that they have some kind of system where you can't just swap your fast pass and give it to someone else. I'd imagine Disney being quite clever and making sure that's the case.
Because obviously you could just pass it around to all your family members. They each do the same ride four times.
Yeah.
Yeah, or once each, you know. But that's, and even for just 9 rides, that's very expensive, isn't it?
Over £100 to ride it multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going later this month, and I'm there for, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, most of Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't need to be buying that.
No, it's bizarre, isn't it? You think the amount of money it is, you'd think you could probably stay another day for that cost, and then just ride, and then just queue normally for all of the rides.
Exactly. So then Disneyland in California has something called Max Pass. That costs $15 per day per ticket, which actually is very reasonable, isn't it?
Yeah, that is significantly more reasonable, isn't it? Which considering there's only, it's the same number of parks as Paris, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you'd think that would be, I assume it would be slightly busier than Paris?
I would assume so as well.
I don't know if that is the case. That's a nice image, isn't it, at the top there? I'm just commenting on the nice graphic that they've got on their website.
They do have a nice graphic. I really want to go to Disneyland at some point.
Yeah, I really do as well. The thing is, if I do want to go, I would want to do like more of California at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's like a 12, 13-hour flight to get over there for us.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'd want to see San Francisco, I'd want to see the city of LA, you know, potentially San Diego.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite a significant trip to go over there.
I think so, yeah. I know that that's somewhere that Donald really wants to go as well.
Yeah.
So I'm sure at some point I'll make it over there. But...
Yeah, because I mean, Disneyland itself looks amazing. It's only 2 parks, but they've got quite a few unique rides, especially when we spoke to Mercedes.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
She's off there.
Well, they've got, obviously, they're going to have Galaxy's Edge. They've got Mission Breakout. They've got Cars Land, which no other park has got.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not particularly...
And then they've got the Incredicoaster.
Incredicoaster.
Yeah.
I'm not a particular fan of Cars, but the Cars Land does look pretty cool.
Mm.
So there's lots of reasons, and those are just a few of them. They've got Roger Rabbit Ride as well, which Roger Rabbit is one of my favourite Disney films.
It'd be interesting to see... It'd be interesting to see what the queues are like in Disneyland once Star Wars opens and how long they are busy for.
Yeah.
Because obviously California Disneyland is only really popular for locals, isn't it?
Yeah, and usually.
So, because you don't get a lot, because it makes sense, you don't get a huge number of people travelling there, because you'd imagine even if you lived in the States... You would probably go to Disney World.
Go to the place that's got more parks, surely.
Because granted, it's, you know, wherever you are in America, it's only probably a 3-4 hour flight at max, if you lived in Seattle, say.
Yeah, and also, like, you tend to get Disney putting more marketing behind Disney World. You have these campaigns that still go today where families go, we're going to Disney World.
Yeah.
And you don't see that really for Disneyland.
No.
You don't see them really promoting, oh, well, you know, as a family, we surprised you with this trip to Disneyland.
No, you certainly don't get that over here, do you?
No.
You really don't get that.
Never advertise Disneyland.
No, over here you get Disney World and Paris.
Yeah.
Those are the only two that
nothing
you advertise.
Else.
You don't get Shanghai, you don't get Tokyo, you don't get Hong Kong.
No, and Disneyland.
And Disneyland.
So, with that in mind, I think before we get on to potential paid fast passes at Disney and what we think, I saw something yesterday that we didn't talk about on the live show.
Right.
Which was that apparently there is a Star Wars Galaxy's Edge cookbook coming out on November the 5th.
Right.
Now, that's a weird day for a book to come out, considering Galaxy's Edge is open in Disneyland. So, question,
yes.
Do we think that Walt Disney World or Hollywood Studios Galaxy's Edge is going to be open in time for that cookbook's release? Or is that just weird timing?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird timing anyway.
You think it'd either be in June, July, whenever Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland is opening.
Yeah.
Or it would be once both are open.
Yeah.
That's my thinking.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Because, yeah, we've seen rumours of it, you know, or not rumours as such, but theories that it would open in December.
Yeah.
Because of the pricing and things like that. Which I do and don't think that's accurate. Like,
If Disney would open that in December, it would be mental. It's mental during Christmas and New Year's time anyway.
Yeah.
Late November is Thanksgiving, which is rammed anyway.
Yeah.
If it was me, I would... They know they're slightly behind. If it was me, I would go early November, because that means that the whole of November and December are going to be absolutely packed. And usually before Thanksgiving, it's a bit quieter in between. So once we've had our October break in the UK,
mm-hmm.
up until Thanksgiving, it's relatively quiet at the parks.
Right, okay.
I imagine
there's a bit of a lull between
Thanksgiving
and Christmas.
Absolutely, yes.
Maybe
it's like 3 weeks where, it's quite quiet.
Yeah.
So if it was me, I would be opening that, say, first week of November, if the timeframes work, and then making sure that November and December is completely rammed in Disney World.
Right.
Everyone will be booked. It will be very busy. Hollywood Studios will be crazy. It wouldn't mean... I'm really torn on whether I would like that or not, because it's kind of slap bang in the middle of my honeymoon.
Oh, of course, yes, yeah.
And as much as I really want to see Galaxy's Edge,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it will be quite as relaxing with Galaxy's Edge being open.
No, I mean, obviously everything will be busier.
Yeah.
Because there'll be so many people going there. Granted, you'll get a lot of people coming from other places within the United States, and they'll only go there for Hollywood Studios because, you know, they don't necessarily go to all the parks when they go to Florida, Disney World, do they necessarily?
I mean, I would love to be there for the grand opening. I would go up early and I'd be there at 5 in the morning.
Queuing with the other 10,000 people.
Yeah, but, you know, I would. If I was there for grand opening, I can't miss that.
No.
It's such a cool thing to be there. As a massive Star Wars fan, I would hate the crowds. It would be crazy.
Yeah.
But I would be there if the grand opening was during my honeymoon.
Right, okay.
Providing the missus says yes. Well, she would, to be fair. Well, she would. She wouldn't let that go without me having the opportunity to be there for that.
Yeah.
But it would mean that all the parks are going to be busier.
Yeah, yeah. I think they would all get a slight boost.
Yeah.
Obviously, Hollywood Studios would be completely wrapped.
I think Hollywood Studios will be at capacity every day for
the entire trip of your holiday.
Yeah.
If you would have to go there for opening, every day that you wanted to go there,
yeah.
you would have to be there for early opening, essentially.
Yeah.
But
I thought that was interesting. I didn't pick up on it yesterday, but I just thought it was like, that's a weird day to release a cookbook that's themed on the restaurants that... If people haven't already had the chance to visit,
mm-hmm.
why would they... So, like, the whole East Coast...
Yeah.
Why would they buy this cookbook if they've not been to Galaxy's Edge? You wouldn't, would you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why they can't get that out for the launch in Disneyland.
Well, maybe they don't want to, because they want people to experience the food first in Disney.
Oh, I see. What, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know. It might not even have been an official cookbook. But I think with anything
right.
Star Wars, it kind of has to be.
Yeah, you'd think it would be, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't think they would sign off if it wasn't.
No, exactly. So I just thought it was interesting. But yeah, back onto the paid fast pass. So the rumours are that Disney are going to be introducing paid fast passes specifically for Galaxy's Edge. Now, based on the prices of Paris, which you think, oh, okay, for two attractions, that'll be 20 quid. I think, firstly, the price will be $100 plus per person.
Per day.
Per day. Is my gut feel. If this is a thing that Disney introduces.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, I said it, I think, yesterday. I would pay that to ride these rides and then spend the day enjoying the land over queuing for 8 hours, wasting my time queuing, essentially.
Yeah.
When I could have just paid $100 and done it.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably agree because, you know, it would be a lot of money if, like, depending on how, if you were going with Donna, it'd be $200 or $200 just for that, which
is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but when you think of the amount of time that you're saving in your holiday not queuing for those attractions, obviously you'd still have to queue for them. You'd still be in the Fastpass queue.
Yeah.
Like, because I think in the post that we were reading where this had been kind of rumoured, they were saying that this would still be alongside the traditional fast passes.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
So you'd still be able to get a fast pass on your app. You, if you were incredibly lucky, you'd be able to get a fast pass on the app. But yeah, so you would be queuing with all the other fast passes. But this would obviously guarantee you a fast pass for that day.
Exactly.
It'd be interesting to see, presumably, it would be a one-time thing.
Yeah, I would think it would be one ride on each attraction.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be able to just go on it again and again and again.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, whether they would introduce different tiers.
I mean, I would, if I was Disney.
I mean...
But then, I don't think... I think
it would be a bit unfair if they introduced a Max Pass kind of thing, like Paris has got, where you can go on limited times into the Star Wars rides.
Yeah.
And even if they charge an extortionate amount, you're very much... favouring the people that can afford that.
Mm.
The same people that stay at the Grand Floridian for 3 weeks or whatever, you know, in peak season.
Same people that stay at, you know, Animal Kingdom Lodge for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Those idiots.
I mean, who would do that? Who could afford that, Ryan?
I mean, but in all seriousness, this trip is completely breaking me. So just to point out that I'm not rich. I'm not sitting from a mansion.
He's surviving on a spoonful of rice every day.
Yeah, exactly. We're currently sitting from a very cheap table where you can hear the chair squeaking because all of my money goes towards Disney trips. But yeah, I mean, I think it sets a dangerous precedent for future attraction openings if Disney chooses this route. And, you know, if that it goes well, which it will, it's guaranteed to go well if they say, here's a paid Fastpass system for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Does that potentially open the door for an Universal Express style of Fastpasses to Disney World?
Well, I would hope that they would keep the traditional system as well.
Who knows with Disney? I mean,
but then they keep that in California, don't they?
That's true.
And in Disneyland Paris, they've still got the traditional Fastpass system
still, which is mental. Yeah, but that's true.
But yeah, I could see them keeping the traditional Fastpass system.
Mm.
I think if they went to a strictly Universal model, that I think there would be people that would be up in arms, wouldn't it?
Oh, I think people would get very angry. Yeah.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, because essentially
you're taking away a service that is, well, it's a one that's part of the perk for staying on property, in that you get 60 days rather than 30.
Yeah, you get a slight bonus, yeah.
Although they've just added two more hotels that aren't officially Disney hotels to Walt Disney World. So, like, the real perk of doing that is soon, it's quickly becoming null and void.
Which two are those?
I can't remember the name of them, but...
Are they existing hotels or new hotels?
Existing hotels.
Right, okay.
So, it's quickly becoming null and void when you think, well, you've got almost 30 hotels all trying to log in and book 60 days in advance.
Yeah, that's true.
60 hotels times X thousand of rooms, all trying to book Galaxy's Edge at the 60-day mark. You're going to have to be really lucky to get there at 12 or whenever the time is to get these fast passes.
You'd have to be checking it all morning, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have to take the day off work.
I probably will take the day off, to be honest. Once I've got my fast pass, I can't remember the date, but when I get it, I'll probably take the day off.
Yeah. Just to make sure that you get it. Because obviously, I guess it depends whether fast passes are whether Star Wars Land is open, really, doesn't it? I suppose.
Yeah, if Galaxy's Edge is open, I'm taking the day off.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be fair,
at least the morning.
Yeah. Often, what I'll do is just take an early lunch and just sit on my computer booking them.
Yeah.
Well, I have my phone on and I have my computer on and I'll be booking whichever works with the Disney experience. But yeah, I can foresee my Disney experience going down every day that people were trying to book those Star Wars fast passes.
Yeah. I mean, I struggled. I was at the 60-day mark because we're staying in...
Swan.
Yeah, yes. We're staying in the Swan next month. And I had trouble getting Slinky Dog.
Mm.
I did manage to get it on the day that we weren't planning on going to Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
So I was able to get it for the evening, so we'll go there in the evening. But all of the days that I tried that we were going to parks in, I couldn't get it.
Yeah, and you know what? For Galaxy's Edge, I will just try... It's the same as what I did when I booked our fast passes last year.
Yeah.
I tried to book Flight of Passage and Slinky Dog. Those are the first ones I tried to book.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else kind of slotted in after that.
I had trouble getting Flight of Passage on the day that we were planning on going to Animal Kingdom.
Mm.
It wasn't available, but I think that was probably because it was a early opening.
Yeah.
So there's probably a lot of people going to Animal Kingdom that day.
Yes.
So I ended up having to swap my Animal Kingdom and my Hollywood Studios day in order to get a Flight of Passage. And I couldn't get Slinky Dog in either of those days anyway, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah. So I think what I'll do is, if Galaxy's Edge is open, and even if I've got fast passes, let's say the park opens at 8, I'm getting there for probably 6:30.
Yeah.
If I'm being totally honest.
I think you'd need to.
I'm getting there for 6:30, and I am...
Do the buses run that early?
Yeah, they're about 1.5 to 2 hours before the park opens.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just going to be there. I don't care.
I suppose you could even, if you get an Uber as well.
I'd rather stand chilling out at the front of the park than standing in a line for 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
I know I'd still be waiting 2 hours, let's say, or 1.5 hours for the park to open. But at least that way I know that I'm getting on one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, very true.
The question is, which is going to be the more popular?
Yeah, I guess it depends. It's a case of which is more popular and which has more throughput.
Yeah,
because obviously we've heard rumours of Rise of the Resistance being a very long ride.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Smuggler's Run can only sit 6 people. So it really depends on how many
Falcons they've got. Yeah.
Granted, you know, you can imagine it's quite a small area.
Yeah.
And obviously, you've just got a screen essentially in front of the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, so you could imagine they could have quite a lot of those.
Yeah, probably like Mission Space Star.
Yeah, I don't know how many of those they have.
Can't remember.
Right.
But, yeah, I think my gut feel is the one that I'm most interested in riding is actually Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think that would be the more interesting of the two. Grant, you know, Smuggler's Run is going
to
be great.
I think Smuggler's Run will be the one that the classic Star Wars fans will go to first.
Right, okay.
They get to ride the Falcon.
Yeah, yeah.
But Rise of the Resistance...
the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. But Rise of the Resistance, for me, looks like it's going to be the more unique experience.
Yeah, I think because you've got, like, the practical effects of, like, the AT-ATs and whatever other practical effects they're gonna be, and it's, you know, a trackless ride, which is really cool, and I think it's gonna tell a better story.
Yeah, I think so. Although
even if it wasn't a hugely long attraction like it's rumored to be, I think it would still tell a better story than Smuggler's Run.
Yeah, I agree. So I mean, I guess the point of this is, if Disney were to introduce $100 plus fast pass to ride both of these attractions, would we pay it? Yes.
I think I would. For the first time we go,
yes,
maybe the second time we go, depends obviously when the land opens and when I'm going and things like that. But say if I went in 2020, obviously I don't know yet where I'm going in 2020. Yeah. I would probably buy it because that would be the first time that I would go and go to Star Wars Land.
It depends on how good the land is for me. If I do it the first time and the attractions are like as good as Flight of Passage, then I might pay it for the second time.
Yeah, it really depends on how busy they are as well, doesn't it? Obviously, if we're talking, say, going in 2020 and then going in 2021...
Yeah, it's going to be mental, isn't it?
But then, obviously, I don't know when they're going to start the 2021 celebrations. Presumably, it's going to be all year.
Well, the official date is October the 1st.
It's not until October. So, are they going to do it from a year... Because, you know, Disneyland Paris 25th celebrations went on for more than a year.
Yeah, so they had a big thing on the actual date.
Yeah, are they going to start from the 1st of January 2021? Or are they going to start from whatever
October
date?
October the 1st.
Yeah, October the 1st, 2021.
I think they'll do a year of celebration starting January the 1st.
Right.
That will be 2 years. And they'll have a big event on October the 1st. Yeah, that's what I think they will do.
A big event in October.
They'll have all the. I think they'll have all the new attractions open
in the
summer of 2021.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
That way, because everyone's going to the Magic Kingdom on October the 1st.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about
that's
that.
That's going to hit capacity very quickly, isn't it?
Yes, it will. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I'd absolutely pay for a fast pass to go on Galaxy's Edge. I don't like that I'd pay for a fast pass. I'm not particularly happy with it. I'm not particularly happy with the way that Disney would introduce this, but I would do it.
Yeah. Do you think at the same time they will offer a early access to Star Wars Land, like they offer an early access to Toy
Story
Land?
Yeah, early morning magic. Yeah, I think so. And I would pay it.
Do you reckon you would have to... would you do one over the other, or would you do... Because I imagine you could do both. I mean, the entry for Toy Story Land is quite expensive, isn't it? It's over 100.
Yeah.
I can't remember how much it is. I feel like it's 120, 150.
Yeah, I think so. It's more more than a day's ticket.
Yeah.
For an hour and a half, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And
I would pay early morning magic. I would ride both attractions, and I would go to breakfast at the cantina, let's say.
Right.
Because otherwise, you're not going to be able to even take in any of the atmosphere of that land.
No.
And I think it's mental. It's absolutely mental that we're even thinking about paying $100 plus for an hour and a half or to ride two rides.
Yeah.
It's not a good way of thinking about it, and I hate Disney for even considering doing it, but they will do it. I mean, even if they don't push it forward with these paid fast passes, early morning magic exists.
That's
going
to be
and it's
thing,
not going anywhere for Star Wars. Yeah. And it's not going
they
anywhere.
They did it for Toy Story Land. They're definitely going to do it. I think
they're still doing it now.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think Toy Story Land was obviously almost like a test.
Yeah.
I think to see how it's received, how popular it's going to be.
Well, they were doing it in other parks before Hollywood Studios.
Right, okay.
Magic Kingdom. But yeah, there's no doubt that Galaxy's Edge is going to have early morning magic. They probably put the price up to probably close to $200. And you know what? Yeah. People will still pay it. I'd still pay it.
People would pay it.
I would probably pay it. And I hate myself for doing it. Because it's not like I have the money to spend $200 for an hour and a half. I don't have that kind of money to just splurge and stuff.
Yeah.
But if it meant that I could enjoy the land and I could enjoy the rides without having to battle as many people, then I probably would.
Would you favour one over the other, or would you do both?
I'd favour the early morning magic, I think. Because otherwise... Because I get to enjoy the lands with less people,
mm-hmm.
whereas the fast passes, it's still going to be rammed getting to that line. I mean, look at Flight of Passage, the way that people queue in to get into that, it goes back to Africa almost every day.
Yeah, even yesterday we were on the live video and we were saying it's still a two and a half hour queue.
Yeah,
And that was.
I mean, it's a Saturday.
We were recording at between 10 and 11.
So that's 5 PM on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Or 5:30, whatever it was on Saturday, and it's crazy. I mean, I know it's Saturday, but still, it's crazy. And this land is going to be, in my mind, 10 times busier than Pandora.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I think they'll probably limit the number of people that can go into the land, won't they? You'll be queuing to go into the land.
I think so. I mean, if they want to give people a decent experience in the land, they're going to have to.
Yeah, because otherwise it will just be a sea of people.
What's the point in having cast members wandering around Galaxy's Edge if you can't really see them because of the amount, the wall of people that's going to be in your way? How can you interact with cast members, and how can you enjoy a meal at a cantina or a drink at the cantina if you can't get to the bar? Yeah. Like, what's the point? and I think that's the real danger that this land has. I mean, Harry Potter was bad enough, and it's calmed down now.
Yeah.
But I can't see Galaxy's Edge calming down for at least 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, going back to Universal, obviously, Harry Potter was massively busy. It's really not very busy now.
No.
And I think that's probably because, you know, Universal as a whole isn't very busy, and I think people that love Harry Potter have been there and done that multiple times now. But yeah, as you say, I don't think we'll see that with Star Wars for a very long time.
No, I honestly, I mean, 2021, up until 2021, Galaxy's Edge is going to be 3-4 hours at least for those rides.
Yeah.
I think moving on to 2021, it depends what movies are coming out, depends how they're adapting those lands, but I still think 2025 is at least when we're going to see crowds start to drop under 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours, in my opinion.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Unless the rides are terrible, which I don't see them being terrible.
Unless the rides are terrible, or unless they suddenly announce something like a brand new gate at Disney. If they say, right, we're opening this new park. Which I don't think they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've got various things being, obviously we touched on this yesterday, we've got various rides opening in time for 2021, you've got Ratatouille, you've got Tron, you've got Guardians of the Galaxy, which the name eludes me, but all these, you know, these big rides that are coming that will take a little bit of the traffic away, but not significantly, I don't think. Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, will. I think that's probably going to be the biggest one.
I think so. I guess Ratatouille will do a good job because most people wouldn't have ridden it before.
Yes.
For us, it's less exciting. We've been on it. It'd be nice to see it not in French.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great ride. I, you know, don't want to take away from Ratatouille because it is an amazing ride.
Yeah.
And I think Tron, again, same with Tron, a lot of people won't have ridden Tron because it's only available in Shanghai. And again, it's a really great looking ride.
Mm.
I've heard great things about it. So I think they will take away a little bit from Star Wars.
But Guardians is a brand new ride. It's not in any other park.
Yeah. And Guardians is such a massive franchise, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's massively popular. So I think that will help for 2021, but it's
because Star Wars is a franchise. Star Wars is Star Wars.
It's massive, isn't it?
And it's going to be crazy. So I think, you know, that's all really we wanted to cover today. I guess in short, as we've said,
I was just going to say, were you closing down?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just going to say, do you think Disney will introduce, similar to Paris, where you've got groups of rides, and then you can have the whole bundle.
Mm.
That would be quite a feat, wouldn't it? Because presumably you'd have...
It'd be park by park, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be park by park, and whether they would have different bundles within a park, or whether they would only have, say, presumably when Star Wars Land launches, they might introduce it just for the Star Wars rides.
I think they will.
See how it's received, and then potentially roll it out to other parks. But it would be interesting to see whether they introduce like groups, again, similar to Paris. Mm. So you'd have in Magic Kingdom, say, you'd have family rides, you'd have thrill rides.
Yeah, you'd have the mountains, basically, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Because you'd imagine if they did that for the all of rides, that would be very expensive.
Yeah,
it would be a very expensive pass.
It'd be interesting to see what they do. I think Star Wars, if they do proceed with it, will be the test.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people... The thing is, it's not a fair test because people will buy, as we said, I wouldn't necessarily pay for a paid fast pass for Magic Kingdom.
No.
But even when Tron opens, I'm really excited to ride it, but I think I'll just queue for it or get a fast pass for it.
Yeah.
Whereas Star Wars, like, that, I just know that land is going to be so busy that I would be happy to pay to try and avoid some of those crowds.
Yeah.
And it's a sad state of affairs, but it is what it is.
Even with Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't think I would necessarily pay for a fast
pass. I don't think I would either.
Because I think, because it's just a single ride, I don't think it's any different from, say, even comparing it to Avatar.
Yeah.
Even though Avatar was an entire land,
yeah,
I think it would be on par with, say, Flight of Passage.
Mm.
You know, you'll see significant queues to begin with, but I think they would drop off from the 5-6 hour mark, relatively quickly.
I think so, and I just don't see Star Wars. Those, I think, both attractions will be 5-6 hours for the foreseeable future. I don't see the crowds dropping.
Yeah, I mean, if they're good attractions, you know, Avatar or Pandora that we saw, you know, one attraction is significantly better than the other.
Yeah.
The other attraction yesterday, it was 85 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's
still only an hour and a half. Yeah.
Less than an hour and a half though, compared to 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a significant difference.
Yeah.
Whereas I think with Star Wars Land, I think at the moment they're both looking like great attractions.
Mm. Yeah. As I said though, for me, Rise of the Resistance looks far more exciting than what is essentially another Flight of Passage.
What, in terms of Smuggler's Run?
Yeah.
Right, okay. I always think of it as more of a mission space.
It's probably, perhaps. Yeah, it's a mission space, but I guess like Mark II.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully the build quality is there. Because as we saw with Slinky Dog, it's wearing on the edges, even though it hasn't even been open a year yet.
I know, and this is the thing. And I think the other thing is, if you've queued 6 hours, and rather than get to actually steer the Falcon, you're ending up just firing the weapons.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be a little bit disappointed.
Yes.
I've heard they're making every role kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everyone wants to go on that ride to fly the Falcon. you don't want to just activate the shields or, shoot the TIE fighters. I think, you know, if they do it well enough, maybe each role is going to be really cool to play.
Yeah.
But I think, really, you're going onto that ride to fly it.
Yeah. I mean, do you think... there could be trouble in the actual ride itself? Do you think, you know, presumably you go in kind of like a flight of passage, you get a number,
yeah,
you go to the number,
yeah.
I don't think you get given a number in flight of passage, do you? You just fill all the space, basically. You just walk up to that number.
I think they do give you a number, yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you reckon you'll get people that will stand in the flight, in the pilot spot, and not move round, say, and or not?
You do get people like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
obviously in flight of passage, there's no real difference between all the numbers, really, I don't think.
It depends on if someone's gone on it before.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. There's so many screens and they all see, or there's so many like sets of seats and they all see the same screen, don't they? It's hard to gauge which one's better than the other. I mean, sure, I'm sure some people have done it, that have ridden it so many times that they know.
But saying that, I've never seen that happen on Mission Space, like someone that wants to be commander. Apart from me and Donna, because I'm like, I want to be Commander Moon. So hopefully we won't get that, but I think if you've got a real Star Wars fan that's been on a couple of times and hasn't been a pilot yet, they'll probably go, can I swap seats, numbers with you?
Yeah,
in which case my answer will be, hold on, why do you want my seat? No.
Yeah, I mean, I hope people don't...
Get shovey
and aggressive with this.
I mean, some Star Wars fans are known to be shovey and aggressive.
Yeah, that is a slight concern, I think, you know, think about it.
The experience isn't the same for everyone, therefore someone will want the experience that they haven't got.
Yeah, yeah, and I hope people don't just... I hope, you know, if people say, oh, can I swap seats with you? You know, if they ask and, you know, somebody says, oh, okay, sure, yeah, or no, sorry, I really want to... You know, be in the seat, fine. As long as people don't just run to that seat and sort of shove ahead of somebody and, you know, and nick the seat ahead of somebody who's meant to be in that seat.
Yeah.
That's when it could turn
nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, I'm not a shovey person, but if I've been put in the cockpit of the Falcon and I've been waiting for 6 hours
and someone's taken my seat, somebody's jumped in front of you,
I'm getting angry. Like,
seriously, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I was there.
Yeah.
I've been given that seat.
Yeah.
You know,
I would get upset.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it for this week's show. Let us know what you think about a potential paid Fastpass system for Galaxy's Edge, whether you would pay, let's say, $100 plus or not. You can let us know on Twitter, on Facebook, on our YouTube channel even, where we're talking all things Galaxy's Edge in last week's video. And please do go rate the show 5 stars on iTunes. That is, just search for Theme Park Trader and hit 5 stars. We've seen a couple of lovely 5-star reviews come in recently, so for those of you who have done that, thank you very much. Do go and visit us on our website, themeparktrader.com. And once again, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you again next week.
Ah, there you are. And just in time, there's a little matter I forgot to mention. Beware of hitchhiking ghosts. They have selected you to fill our quota, and they'll haunt you until you return.